Proverbs. We're still tonight, boys and girls, on the commandment that God has given to you to honor your father and mother. And the book of Proverbs was really written by Solomon, telling his children to listen to his voice and the voice of their mother that God has given them to him, so that children may learn from their parents the ways of God. As we've already seen, it's not enough to teach your children words. What's most important is how you live before them, how you treat them. We must teach them words, however, but they must see the gospel in us. For every inconsistency and sin and failure that our children see in us, they will be tempted to wonder, is the gospel true? And as they grow up and see more and more inconsistencies and sins and failures in their parents, they'll be more and more tempted to think so. So parents have a great responsibility not only to teach words to their children and God's ways to their children, but to, from a human perspective, make it easy to believe the gospel. In Proverbs chapter 2, we have just one of those places in the scripture where children are exhorted to listen to the words of their father and mother. And young people and boys and girls, I'm simply reading this passage tonight to show you that the book of Proverbs has very much practical information for you and guidance for you in your life. And also, parents are to study the book of Proverbs to teach their children what it says. Hear the word of God. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the death, to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all you produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Let us pray. Father, we ask tonight as we come into your presence that you would help us to understand the scriptures. I especially pray for the children tonight, that you would help them to see that their parents are gifts from you to them, to teach them the ways of God and the truths of God, the right and wrong of the Bible. And I ask, O Lord, that you would help the parents in this assembly to be followers of Jesus Christ, lovers of Jesus Christ, that the Word of God would be on their heart, not just in their mind, that their children would see the grace of God and the kindness of God and the patience of God, the mercy of God in the face of their parents. The parents would be faithful in teaching the children the ways of God and truth and life. But I pray for the children, O Lord, that you would help them to look beyond their parents and see the God who gave them to them. They would be able to overlook the faults and sins and weaknesses of their parents and see the Lord Jesus Christ who stands behind them, and to honor their father and mother because of Jesus. I pray that you'd help every child and young person in this assembly to deal with this great truth that God has given us, that children are to obey their parents in the Lord and to honor their father and mother, that their days may be long, that they may live long in the land. We ask that you would help the parents to come to the children as people, not as things and objects, to be governed, but rather as souls made in the image of God who need the gospel of Christ, who need to see the grace of God in the face of parents. Help us, O Lord, to raise our children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, but help our children to honor their father and mother. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time, boys and girls and young people, we looked at these commandments in verse 1 and 2, and we saw that these are things that God has clearly commanded to children and young people. As a matter of fact, there is strong evidence that this is the first commandment of all that a child and a young person is to obey in their life. And it does many things as it comes to us. Children are called to obey their parents in the Lord. And they find very quickly that they do not always obey their parents. And so this law of God is given to help them to understand that they have sin in their hearts, to do those things that are against God's will. And the law reveals their sin. And then boys and girls are told about the life of Jesus Christ, how he stayed in subjection to his parents, even though they were sinners and he was not. Even though they were imperfect, yet he was perfect. And he stayed in subjection to them from 12 years old on into his adulthood. He honored his father and mother, and thus he lived that perfect life that a child should live, that a young man should live. And when he died upon the cross and was crucified, he bore in his body all of those sins that children commit and young men and women commit against their parents. The deceitfulness that comes, the lying, the disobedience, the grumbling, the complaining, the open rebellion, the disobedience to God's commands that parents bring to their children. On the cross, Jesus Christ, who led a perfect life, died a perfect death. And he paid for the sins, all of those bitter spirits and hatreds in the heart that children have toward their parents. And he paid in full with his perfect life for the sins of those who have broken this commandment. And having been raised from the dead, as he promised, proving that he is the Son of God and worthy to be worshipped and obeyed, now with hands of love, with nail holes that come from the cross, he turns to children and teenagers and young men and women. And he says to them, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so this commandment, boys and girls and young people, comes not from some stern God up in the sky who has no feeling for your life. It comes from the hands of the only one in the universe who has proven that his love is eternal and everlasting and will not change. One who is so good in his heart that his life was good enough to pay for every one of those times that you have broken these laws, that you may be cleansed of guilt and shame and no longer fear the judgment of God against your sins. And one so good that he rose from the dead to rule and govern your life for good. This commandment is not bad, boys and girls, young people, because it is a commandment that is written in the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who loves sinners and would never command us to do anything that is evil or would harm us. And it is in believing that a young man, a young woman, a boy, and a girl find the strength and will and power to obey this commandment, to honor their father and mother, to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now tonight, what I'd like us to do is look at some things about this commandment. Why, for instance, do we need to study this commandment? Some of you may have been raised on this commandment all your lives, and you're sitting there thinking, thanks, but I've heard all about this. Well, there may be some other reasons you haven't thought about to study this commandment. And the first reason that I would like to put before you is this. The state of the world. The state of the world. There is a great breakdown in the family in the United States and around the world. Divorce is on the rise. Children are raised in homes where they are allowed to be rebellious and hateful and angry and bitter. There is a tremendous increase in juvenile crime and drug use. There is a tremendous increase in immoral behavior in young people and children in the elementary school. Our land is filled with lawlessness. Employers notice how rare it is to find a faithful and honest employee, one that actually works on the job, is dependable, has integrity, keeps their word, and does their work. The state of the world tells us that we need to study this commandment because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to listen to the sins that are described in terms of the spirit that we now see in the world and what this sin has to say. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul said, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come." Now, what will be the manifestation of difficult times? "For men will be lovers of self." Does that sound familiar? "Lovers of money." "Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, though they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Now, in this terrible list of sins, lovers of self, lovers of money, arrogant revilers, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, irreconcilable, which sin is the earliest one? If a man leads a life that results in these kinds of things, what is the earliest sin in his life? According to the scripture, the commandment which is first with a promise to children is honor your father and mother. A country that begins to raise its children to be disobedient to parents is a country that is looking for a breakdown in its whole society. The breakdown of children's obedience in the home is a symptom of the lawless nature of man. The wicked go astray from the womb, speaking lies, David said. The breakdown in society that we see today is not because of education. It is not because of financial pressures and socioeconomic distinctions between people. It is not because of one political system over another. The rise in crime, the rise in the use of drugs and alcohol, the rise in the breakup of marriages and families, I believe is traced to one great problem: how parents raise children. Rebellious citizens come from children who are taught to be rebellious. Lazy employees come from children who are taught in the home how to be lazy and irresponsible. And having learned rebellion and irresponsibility in the home, they take those wonderful gifts that parents have given them into the school, into the workplace, and into the world. Ask a teacher, what's the most important thing that could be done to help your students? What'll they say? If only their parents would be there. If only their parents would help them, if they would teach them, if they would talk to them, if they would raise them. I can't do anything here in this classroom if their parents don't do anything at home. Why do we have this situation today? What is different from earlier generations when our society at least had a little bit more stability, a little less crime, less immorality and drunkenness, more responsibility for work? What has happened? Well, if you were to get a chart and you were to chart the influence of ideas on our society with the breaking down of the family and society, you would find a direct correspondence. And those ideas are the breakdown of biblical authority and truth in American society for the last 200 years, especially since the turn of this century, where teachers and parents have begun to turn from God's word to teach their children and as the basis of raising their children, to lawlessness and atheistic psychology. The result has been children who've been raised without moral instruction, who have been raised without believing that God is good, loving, and kind, who've been raised without being taught that they cannot steal another's toy or money, that they cannot use violence to resolve their problems, that they must forgive their enemy and love their enemy and do good to those who persecute them, so that our society is now filled with children for several generations now who have been raised apart from the gospel. The only thing that will change it is not education. Isn't it strange that they haven't yet figured out that education cannot change our lives? Technology won't change it. Just make smarter people who sin more. The only thing that will change it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is raised from the dead, and He has loving authority over His people to guide them in their daily lives. And His word really is true, and you can build your life upon it. You can raise your children on it and build your family on it, with the result of all of the blessings that come from it in our lives and the life of a nation. The gospel of Jesus Christ came to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and to teach them how to be loving, godly parents to them. And it came to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, in honor and love and submission to those whom God has placed over them, to heal our homes, to provide a safe place to raise children who can go out in this world prepared to face the foe. Instead of a victim for anything that comes down the pike. Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, "I believe that Christian parents and children, Christian families have a unique opportunity of witnessing to the world at this present time by just being different. We can be true evangelists by showing this discipline, this law and order, this true relationship between parents and children. We may be the means under God's hand of bringing many to a knowledge of the truth." Our society is breaking down because parents are not raising their children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, and instead are actually teaching their children how to dishonor and disobey their parents, so that they go out into the workplace and do the same, in the school and do the same, and into their new homes and do the same thing with their wives and husbands and children, till it gets worse and worse and worse. Only Jesus Christ can stop it. Only one who comes in to conquer our hearts and teaches us to overcome selfishness and stubbornness, how to be loving and giving instead of demanding. Disobedient to parents, right there in the middle of some of the worst sins in the Bible. It is the first place, boys and girls, that you learn to obey God. Honor your father and mother. Now I want us to look at this commandment for just a moment and ask, what exactly does it mean? You'll notice in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 1 and 2, that Paul is clear: obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Young people and boys and girls, do you know what this means? It means that Jesus Christ, the one who loved you more than you love yourself, the one who was crucified for sinners like you, has given you this commandment. And he, this loving Lord, wants you to do more than bear obedience to your father and mother. Just do what they say. It'll keep them off my back. Everything will be okay. He says, honor your father and mother. Do you know what the word honor means? It means to value. It means to treasure, consider precious. It is more than mere outward obedience. It means a heart love for your parents. It means forgiving their sins. Only God can change your heart and make you want to honor them and obey them. I observe children in several different situations in churches. I graduated in education. I went through all the courses in child psychology and childhood growth and the different stages of life. I watched the children of the psychologists that taught me. I learned a lot of things there. I learned that they didn't know how to raise children. Raising some of the most obnoxious, proud, arrogant, stubborn, disobedient, insensitive children I've ever known in my life. I observe children. Whether they speak respectfully or disrespectfully to dad and mom, whether they act as if their mom and dad are some great genie in the sky who owes them anything their little hearts desire, whether they have a grateful spirit, knowing that God has given any gift they receive through their parents. I notice whether children give respectful looks to parents or disrespectful sneers when their parents ask them or tell them what to do. Jesus Christ says to children, honor your father and mother. Why would you want to argue with that? The problem always comes back to Jesus. He wants your hearts to not only barely obey, but to be good and kind. To be forgiving of your parents' sins and weaknesses. To honor them, though frankly they don't deserve it. They aren't perfect. But He is. He is. What if parents, children, looked to Jesus Christ and fell in love with Him, and as their parents came to them and said, honey, I want you to go do this, they said in their minds, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins, giving me my parents, and anything you command me to do through them, I am glad to do. Sure, Dad. Glad to. It is the honoring of our parents that teaches us to honor God. You cannot be raised as a child and hear this commandment and not be forced to deal with your own heart. And Jesus Christ has come to take away the anger and bitterness and hatred from children's hearts toward their parents so that they can just say, sure, Dad. Whatever you say. Honor your father and mother. And then Jesus told the Pharisees, even into old age, when you've built your own life and you have your own home and your own family and your own job, though you do not have to obey them like a child under authority any longer, you still have to honor them. To take care of them in their old age, to give them a call on the phone and say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, is there anything you need? I've been praying for you. I've been thinking of you. I hope to see you soon. Jesus taught that there never comes a time when a child ceases to honor his father and mother. Now, why should boys and girls and young people obey this commandment? We've talked about the necessity of studying and basically what it means, but why obey it? Well, it says so, the reason why, right here in the text. Because it is right. Do you believe that there is such a thing as right and wrong? Then how do you know what is right and wrong? Is it wrong for other people to hurt you, but right for you to hurt them? Is it right for you to disobey and dishonor your father and mother because they don't have a lick of sense? But it's wrong for your children to disobey you and disrespect you when you have them? The Apostle Paul says that this doesn't change because you want it to. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord because it's right. There is such a thing as right and wrong. You know, this morning in this sermon, I was really telling you how I live. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, everything He said is true, and we have the foundations on which to build our lives. If it's not true, then he's a liar and a deceiver and a charlatan, and you ought not to follow him, but lead your own life, doing what you want to, when you want to do it, like you want to do it. Children, are you listening to me? I'm talking to you too. But if he raised from the dead, you cannot escape this truth. That he is true in every word that he has given us in the scripture. And that includes this commandment that you don't like. I didn't like it growing up. I'm ashamed to say how I treated my father and mother. And the dishonor that I brought to them on so many occasions. And they weren't perfect. But the Son of God rose from the dead. And if I ask him, Jesus, what would you have me do toward my parents? He would say, I want you to honor them because it's right. And I say, what is right? Who is Lord over your life? You or him? Is he raised or is he not? It's right. And young people who are raised in homes with imperfect parents have to deal with this truth every day. My parents don't always understand what's going on. They are not infallible and sometimes they make mistakes. How can I submit myself to them and honor them and do what they say? The answer to that question is you turn to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, you were raised from the dead. You are wise. What would you have me do? And he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so every day for a child and a young person, this commandment makes you decide whether you're going to follow Christ as Lord or your own will in your life. It makes you decide whether the gospel is true or not. And if it's not true, then go out and be as rebellious as you want to and end up in jail somewhere. But don't complain when your children do the same thing to you. Do you really submit to your parents like you hope your children will to you one day? Do you honor them in the way you hope this little baby that comes from your womb and from your seed looks up at you and says, I don't like you. I hate you. I wish you weren't my parents. And if I had the courage to say it, I would say, I wish you were dead. Most children have thoughts like that. Because of the anger in their hearts that is rooted in the sin of rebellion. Do you want your children to treat you that way? Of course not. You know intuitively that it is wrong to hate your parents and to disobey them in things that are not sin, but is their will. You don't want that happening to you. And that's one way God is teaching you that it's right to honor your father and your mother. And one more reason there is to honor your father and mother, because you're to honor the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Jesus Christ made you. David said, you made my inward parts and put me together in my mother's womb. If Jesus made you, then he has the right to guide you, to rule over you, and to call you to obey the parents that he has given to you. He is not ignorant. He does not make mistakes. It was not an accident that you were born into the family that you were born into. He did it. And He calls you to honor Him by honoring them. Boys and girls, if your parents do not call you to break one of the Ten Commandments, to steal, to lie, to commit adultery, to bear false witness, you are obligated to obey them. You're obligated to work at the chores they ask you to do, and with a sweet spirit. You're obligated to speak to those people whom your parents ask you to speak to out of courtesy and respect and with a sweet spirit. And if you wish to talk to your parents and even disagree with what they're asking you to do or saying to you, to do it with a sweet, respectful spirit, because you're doing it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're learning in the process how to be subject to your employer whom Jesus has given you, and to your teacher whom Jesus has given you, and to your government which Jesus has given you. Because it is in believing that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the universe and the intimate details of our lives that we find the strength and power to obey Him, no matter what station in life we're in. Sometimes, as you grow up, you realize that you've done many things against your parents. Do you know what you ought to do? What you ought to do in that case? You ought to do what Jesus said. If you're presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has aught against you, go first be reconciled with your brother. Then come and present your offering at the altar. You ought to go to your father and mother and confess the sins that you're aware of to them and ask their forgiveness for your rebellions, your attitude problems, your disobedience to those things that they've commanded, and clear the slate with them and God. And that includes children of any age, cradle to grave. We ought to honor our father and mother by seeking their forgiveness for our sins. As long as we are under their authority in the home, by obeying their commandments. And when we have left our home and are building our own lives, to honor them in old age, even to the point of necessity in taking care of them physically. Because Jesus taught that's what it means to honor your father and mother. Boys and girls, sometimes when you are growing up, you hear these older people say things to you like, "When I was young, my parents were very ignorant. When I was older, they got wiser." That's not always true, but it is most of the time. And do you know, when you start learning what it means for a child to honor and obey his parent, and how important that is, and how much it means to a father and mother who poured their life into your life, do you know, when you start realizing how much has been put into your life, it's when you have your own children I want to encourage you, boys and girls, now to think about it for a minute. If you had children, how would you want them to treat you? And then you begin to honor your father and your mother the same way. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Will your father and mother, when they are upon their deathbed and remembering their life, will they give thanks for your life and the way you treated them? Or will they just have a lot of sorrows to remember? Jesus Christ wants you to minister to them in their old age by giving them good memories and kind hearts and spirits of love and submission to them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Let us pray.